Recording has started. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds CCWG Charter Drafting Team call held on Wednesday, the 10th of August, 2016. On the call today, we have Olga Cavalli, Sylvia Cadena, Alan Greenberg, Jonathan Robinson, and Lyman Chapin. Our board liaison is Asha Himrajani. We have listed apologies from Tony Harris, a tentative apology from Russ Mundy, and joining us a little later in the call will be Erica Mann. From staff, we have Marika Konings, David Tate, Lauren Allison, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With that, I'll turn it back over to Jonathan. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. It's Jonathan Robinson for the record. Could you confirm that you are, let's just see if we can get Olga connected. Are you intending to dial out to her?
Yes, I am. Works in progress now with the operator. Yep.
Just give that one more minute. I'll just pause for a moment while you at least start that off so we make sure she's involved from the outset. I'm going to check the facts with staff. I've been through the documents and the various bits and pieces, and as I can see it, on the review of comments, we've had some further input since the last meeting from Sylvia, but I think it's only Sylvia that's added comments. And so I'd like to check that and also confirm where we got to at the last meeting, which comments, because we systematically worked through the comments with Alan leading the call, and I'd just like to check to which point we got to. And so Marika says that the only comments on the review of comments that we are working on at present is from Sylvia in writing, and we got to item 22 last time round. So just give it one more minute while we link up and then we'll commence in earnest.
And I assume the document sent out on the 29th is the one we're working on right now? Alan speaking.
Thanks, Alan. Marika confirms in the chat that is correct, and Olga, welcome. Okay, so let's just re-welcome you all, including Olga now, who we have on audio, to the meeting. We have four items you want to cover, and we've dealt with the roll call and initial welcome. What we want to do is look at this timeline, which you see up in front of you, and then continue our review of the comments on the draft charter, which we received in at the previous ICAB meeting in Helsinki. And the objective there is really to actively consider each comment and decide what, if anything, we intend to do with each one. And you've systematically been through it on the previous meeting up to 22, so I'm optimistic we should be able to deal with that. Where that then puts us into a position is redrafting the charter, and I'm hoping and expecting that we might be able to integrate those efforts, all of those outputs, into the charter with the help of staff, and then we'll need to review that charter with all of the changes in and make sure it's self-consistent and there are no other changes, at which point we should be in a position to submit it to the chartering organizations. But thinking through that process myself, and I'll welcome any other comments, and when I reflect that against the timetable you see in front of me, I think we're not in line with that timetable at this point. In particular, myself included, no one has added anything to the comments in the interim between now and our last meeting, apart from Sylvia. So My thought on this timetable is that it's become too ambitious as we stand. I mean, I don't see us distributing a charter, which is item 4, in the next item from this week meeting. I don't see us distributing a charter to the SOs and ACs to identify whether there remain pertinent issues that prevent them. I mean, I don't think we have a sort of final draft, if you like. Do others have a different view? I mean, it feels to me like we need at least one more meeting on working on the charter before. So we're at least, if you like, a meeting or a point behind on this. Marika, why don't you come in? And I note your agreement in the chat with that position, Sylvia. Marika, you go ahead.
So this is Marika. So we did outline two options, with option one being being able to have a first meeting of the CCWG at ICANN 57, and option two, more aligned with having potential approval of the chartering organizations in Hyderabad. But I think in both timelines, there's obviously some flexibility, especially with regards to the time that's provided to chartering organizations to review the charter and provide input. So there may be an opportunity there to shorten that time frame if there's still a desire or commitment to try to achieve either option one or option two. And then, of course, there's as well the suggestion that Sylvia has made, is that if people are willing indeed to try to move things a bit quicker along, one option would be to give everyone, say, a week to go through the comment review tool and add any perspectives that people feel are not expressed yet. I know that several of you have either gone through all or some of the comments. So if you believe that certain views are not expressed, or you just want to add your support to one or other perspective, you can do so. And then after that, maybe staff can then take indeed that input and produce a next draft of the charter. And that could then happen slightly in parallel, and hopefully have that draft charter ready then for the next meeting if we continue on the two-week schedule. So it would be in 2 weeks, have that ready in time for that meeting, and hopefully then be able to make progress by having a next draft available. And I'm not sure if we would be able to finalize work in one meeting. You may want to decide and to have another meeting maybe shorter or closer instead of the two-week time frame to be able to wrap things up, which may still keep you relatively close to either option one or option two, which then to a certain extent, of course, will be determined by the final submission date of the draft charter to the chartering organizations, and then as well dependent on the feedback that comes back, whether further work is needed or whether the different groups believe the charter is in a state in which they can move forward with it.
Sorry, that's helpful input, and I note the various comments in the chat, including the issue of the tension between making sure we place enough time to do the work thoroughly and make sure that the charting organizations have time to deal with any material we produce, plus not let lag on too long. So we've got to manage that tension, and I think we can do that. I certainly like your idea of the parallel production of the charter and the using staff's efforts to integrate the work that we've done to date and including today into a next version of the charter. So I like that idea, and I think we should seriously consider that and probably go ahead with it if there are no objections or concerns. Alan, your input.
Yeah, thank you very much. I agree. I think given how much we did last time, how far we get today is going to be critical of indicating when we can finish, or is this going to be a longer process than we envision. So I think it's premature to try to adjust the charter today, timeline today, but based on what comes out of today, I think we can do that. And I apologize for not submitting my comments. I did last time at the last moment, and I hope to this time. Time just got away from me, though. But I think to the extent anyone can contribute comments, that would be useful. With regard to that, though, I have a question. Marika said we're ready to do 22, and I think that's correct. But I see that Sylvia seems to have made a whole bunch of comments on the earlier ones, and I'm not quite sure, are we going back to them or how we're handling this? Thank you.
Right. So there's a few points. I think the
Sylvia says she didn't, but I see red that was added on the 29th, so I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding was that Sylvia's comments had gone documentless. Marika, your hand up. Let's deal with this practical point first, and then we'll come on to the others. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. So, yes, I believe that Sylvia added some feedback to some of the earlier comments, but maybe a way forward might be as staff goes through the overall document, we can try to see if any of those are conflicting what the agreement of the group was at the time that comment was originally reviewed. And if there is any conflict between those, we can maybe bring those back to the group or in the revised charter, basically note the two options or where the difference lies, so that can then be more concretely discussed by the drafting team instead of going back maybe to the review tool itself.
Yeah, I think that seems like a reasonable view. I mean, I had a look at some of those this morning, and just at a very high level, I don't recall seeing significant conflict or other things. So as Sylvia says in the chat, it may be that these are largely self-consistent anyway, but if we do identify some conflicts or some lack of absolute coherence, we can deal with those either by revisiting them in the table itself or reconciling them in their input into the charter. I think the most important thing to do is that we give a decent first pass at all of these comments and give them the due consideration and ideally try and form a group view as to how we intend to deal with them. Certainly, I was in a similar position to Alan, and I mean, not strictly relevant to this group, but for information, I'm pretty absorbed with the PTI and IANA stewardship work at the moment. It's coming to a head because of the pressure on the transition. So that's causing my own personal conflict of time there. It's not through a lack of interest in any sense in the work of this group. All right. Well, I feel what the decision is here is at the moment is that we stick with this timeline and/or the version 2 of the timetable. There's a recognition that this is not likely to happen in exactly this form. It's quite hard to make a substantial modification until we see how we get on today. So I think we retain this timeline for the moment, but we recognize it'll have to at least be tweaked. And that puts us in a position to start to work with the comments. I think we put an action on staff to, in parallel with our work on the comment tool, to start to draft the integration of those outputs into the charter between now and the next meeting. And we commit as best as possible to engage on the list on any other open items between the calls. Sylvia, thanks. And note your point that you didn't add anything that we didn't discuss in the meeting. I think the only issue will be is to the extent that it was your own opinion and the group in some way agreed to go down a slightly different route. But we'll see. As Marika says, I'm sure she can either reconcile them or bring them back to the group, and we'll deal with that. All right, so without further ado, I suggest we, unless I'm missing a key practical point, I suggest we go on to the comment tool and pick up where we left off around item 22 and take it from there. So on to the next section of our agenda, there is a review of the comments, and you should all have individual scrolling rights, so I'll direct you straight to the page in question. Which is, I think it was just moved, to page 17. Page 17, comment 22. And so we have the suggestion that this And just as a point of process, I think if you agree, no need to comment now. I'll ask for any disagreement or any additional comment, and that may help us to move through it a little faster. So no need to indicate if you agree. Silence will be taken as assent. If you disagree or want change, of course, by all means, raise your hand, and hopefully that can help us work through these as efficiently as possible. By the way, for interest, 22 is about halfway through, so well done to Alan and the group for getting halfway through last time. So here we have many outside of the CWG have experience with the allocation of funds, and the CCWG may benefit from that expertise. The charter deals with this issue, including possible expert participation. And, you know, I put my comment that I agree and welcome this, and Sylvia too. So I think the action taken is that the CCWG will be encouraged to take outside or expertise and expert participation wherever possible and appropriate. Alan?
Thank you. I think the question here is whether we put in the charter that it will have, which would imply we'll do a call for experts at the same time as you do call for membership. So that's the decision I think we need to take.
Okay, so here, okay, Marika, come in.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think the challenge there might be, and maybe looking at how it's done in other working groups, for example, when there's a call for volunteer, we normally spell out, you know, those with expertise are particularly encouraged to join, or it's welcome if that kind of expertise is available. Because I think the challenge is if you create a kind of separate call for volunteers, it may create the impression that that also gives a separate status, and that would also then require some kind of evaluation of those that identify as experts. So, I don't think you're prevented from going down that path, but if you are going to a separate kind of expert group or experts that are part of the CCWG, you would also need to think through then, you know, who does that selection, what is their role, how do they participate? So I know that, for example, the accountability has this separate set of advisors or experts. I don't know if that's, Anna, what you had in mind, or whether it's sufficient to just, as part of a call for volunteers, identify the specific set of expertise that would be really welcomed in volunteers that join the group.
So in essence, the proposal would be twofold, and I'll come to you for a moment to see if this would satisfy your requirements, Alan. The proposal would be CWG, the BT specifies a desirable expertise in organizations making their appointments or members taking up, and we encourage the CCWG to take advantage of relevant expertise where appropriate. Would you want more than that, Alan?
I actually wasn't saying we should do it. I just said we had a decision to make, and I think we've made it. I tend to agree with Marika. If we did a call for membership for experts now, we would have to specify them in more detail. We would have to evaluate them. And to be candid, if you look at what happened on the CCWG accountability, we ended up with some experts who seemed to make sense to the reviewers before it started, but didn't necessarily make sense operationally. They didn't necessarily contribute an awful lot. And we had expenses associated with it in that case, which may or may not be the case here. So I think this process, the CCWG is going to go on long enough that I don't think there's a huge problem in not having them from day one. So I tend to agree with the decision. As I said, I wasn't recommending we do it. I was just saying we need to make it clear which route we're going on. Thank you.
Thanks. So rather than the decision, the point has articulated by me a moment ago, Alan, and that's what you mean, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Asha.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, loud.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, I couldn't hear Marika too clearly because she was speaking very quickly. So I'm just going to guess as to what she was talking about. So we have two options. One is to specify outside experts at this point in time, or the second option was to identify the skills we want and then look for those skills in the pool of volunteers that we have. Is that a correct thing? Is that what you said, Marika?
That's a sort of new hybrid, Asha.
Okay. All right. So if that's the case, I would like to, from my perspective, I think given the questions we've been having, or the discussions rather we've been having on fairly early on in drafting the charter, about whether we should split the money into different buckets, about the level of how strong the or how tough the conflict of interest should be, we've been having quite deep discussions about allocation of funds. So even though we're in the first phase of a three-stage process, so I would think actually that it would be helpful to get experts, specific experts who are not from the community or the people who normally attend ICANN meetings or who are normally in internet governance, who are more experienced with the fund management or with nonprofits, somebody, for example, with experience with the Bill Gates Foundation, and I'm just giving an example, to come and help us either the drafting team or even with the CCWG. So I would think it would be worthwhile for the drafting team to say something along those lines, that CCWG should make the efforts to look out for look for experts that can help them, and these are experts who may not be in the internet space but who are familiar with how to deal with dispersing funds. We may have that expertise in our volunteer pool. That may well be the case, but we should also be open to looking for this expertise from outside. I don't think it would cost too much. I think if we exercise caution and common sense, this will not be the same as the lawyer, how much the lawyers cost us in the CCWG accountability. We did have, as Alan mentioned, three experts that were part of that were support. They were three experts to help us with the CCWG accountability, and okay. Sorry about that, my son. We did have these three experts, but they didn't cost us anything. And I agree with Alan that maybe perhaps they were not ideal. They didn't really work out. They may not have worked out, but that's a separate issue. I think here in this case, we're now talking about experts. We're now talking about what the charter should say about the experts. So there is no harm in asking in the charter saying that it would be a good idea for the CCWG when they're convening to look out for experts to help them, because I think we should not be restricting ourselves to just the members of the community. In fact, I think it would help. It might help if we could have somebody from a charitable organization come and speak to us, give us a short talk for free. On an Adobe call to give us their inputs on how large funds are managed. Thank you.
So thank you, Asha. And I'm just going to re-articulate what I said before, because I think it's consistent with what you are suggesting, and then we'll go to Alan and then Marika. What I suggested, and I think we need to be clear here, because we are going to go out and seek members from the chartering organizations, and also we will be open to broad participation. So in making that call, we can specify, and I suggest we do and commit to this, that we ask for certain expertise where it's possible. In other words, we create a working group with as much internal expertise as possible. In addition, and to supplement that, I suggest we also seek, we suggest to the CWG that as an early part of its work, it seeks to bring in specialist expertise to aid the work of the group. As to your third point, whether we get some expertise in to give input to the drafting team, I have an open mind on that. It may and how we would do that, so I won't respond to that right now. Let's go to Alan and then to Marika.
Yeah, thank you. I was just going to confirm that I think what Ash is suggesting is not dissimilar from what you had suggested, that we suggest strongly to the CCWG that it consider this, and we may even list some qualities that we're looking for, although they're clearly not bound by that. But it's curious, at least one of the items that Asha mentioned as a rationale for needing experts, I would think is not an expert issue, and that's a decision on whether we divide the money into buckets or have it wide-ranging. Steve Crocker has suggested that perhaps we have three very narrow buckets and restrict, the CCWG restricts further use into those buckets. I'm a believer that we keep it wide open. But that, I think, is an ICANN decision, not an expert decision. I think that's the decision on how we want to use our money. Thank you.
Well, and of course, maybe a premature decision. It may be that's something that the CWG can consider. I mean, let's not open that one up right now, because right now we're talking about expertise. That's the topic here. That's point 22 that we'd ideally like to move on from. So let's hear from Marika and then Sylvia.
Yeah, this is Marika, and I'll make it very short, but I'll try to speak slowly. I think just to confirm that I do believe that the charter already currently foresees this ability for the CCWG to explore external expertise if and when needed, and maybe to also share that at least from experience with other working groups, a form that may also take is a number of questions that are identified by the CCWG that then are put forward to those that are deemed experts. It doesn't necessarily need to be a kind of, standing engagement of any kind. I think we've already seen a number of CCTLD colleagues that were very happy and willing to share some of their experience. So I think as the charter currently looks, but of course, staff will review that based on the conversation here. I think there's already a lot of flexibility and recognition of the fact that external expertise may be needed, but that's for the CCWG to identify as part of its process.
Thanks, Marika. And just to be clear, there is no presumption that expertise is either paid for or not paid for. That's a separate question. Asha, is that a new hand from you? If it is, please go ahead.
No, it's not. Sorry.
Asha?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I think we hear you.
Yeah, I was saying no. It's not an old hand. It's not a new hand. I brought it down.
I heard that, Asha. We're waiting for Sylvia.
Oh. Okay. All right. I thought you said my name again. Sorry about that. All right.
Thank you, Jonah. I think I already wrote it on the chat that I think it's a bit premature for us to identify experts or call for experts. At this stage, I think we don't really need to go that far. I think that probably what will be good to add to the charter would be broad lines of what type of advice might be needed, and leading at the saying that the CCWG will be encouraged to look for the advice they need at the time that they identify it or whatever. I agree with part of what Asha said about having people that are not necessarily part of the internet community to be the ones that are considered experts. And I agree that that's something that is particularly needed. In my opinion, that applies particularly to the legal advice, in terms of how nonprofits administer grants to keep their taxes exempt status in the U.S. I think that probably that is something that not necessarily ICANN staff have in their team, and it will be really important to highlight from the beginning to make sure that they have access to that information from someone that knows, like the Tides Foundation or something like that in the states that manages funds for external funds for third parties. So yes, that's all I wanted to say at that stage. Thank you.
Thanks, Sylvia. So I'm going to just, I think it feels to me like we are in agreement with one another and we have a response of an action that we need to take. So I'm going to move us on and just remind you all that we've taken 15 minutes on one out of around 20 that we have to go, which would leave us with 300 minutes of call time if we were to continue at that pace. So that's dealt with 22. We have a response that we will seek expertise in participants. We will encourage the CCWG to take advantage of expertise in addition to that of the participants as and when it has the questions to deal with it. So item 23, the comment was that CCWG members and participants need a good understanding of the ICANN ecosystem, and so I see a hand up from Lyman. Go ahead, Lyman.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. I wanted to make sure, after reading Sylvia's comment after mine, that it was understood that I was not arguing that understanding of the ICANN ecosystem was a bad thing or in itself could be considered a conflict of interest, but a sort of corollary effect of focusing on people who understand the ecosystem, a side effect of that might end up being focusing exclusively on what I've called insiders. And so it was more of a warning than a suggestion that the criterion itself was inappropriate.
That's helpful to clarify that. I mean, personally, my interpretation of this would be that we don't that the CCWG should stay silent on this. We should seek expertise, as we have said in item 22, related to the work of the group. I don't think we need to go on either side of this particular point. So that would be my suggestion. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that in relation to members, I think we already identified that one of the criteria that's desirable, it's not a requirement, but that's desirable is indeed knowledge of ICANN ecosystem as well as beyond. What I don't think that the charter does is have that same requirement for participants, but that would also go against what current practice is, because I think at the moment, you know, participation is open to anyone interested, and there usually is no set criteria that's applied. Again, the call for volunteer may identify what knowledge or expertise is maybe helpful and useful, but it doesn't say if you don't have that, you cannot join.
Point on desirable qualities, but none of it is mandatory. And to be clear. Erica, go ahead. Hello, Erica, at this stage, we don't hear you. Erica, we move on as per your suggestion of chat for now. So, CWG response to comment 23, I'm suggesting, and I hope you, I don't think you're disagreeing, is that we retain what we have in the charter, which says that as part of your qualification as a member, it's desirable but not necessary to have a good understanding of the ICANN ecosystem, and no such constraint or even suggestion exists in the participation. So that's where we are at the moment. I'm not seeing any notes in the right-hand column on notes with respect to comment 23, so I don't know how this is being captured. Erica, come in again.
Yeah, let's try if it's working, Jonathan. Thank you for being patient. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Can you hear me? Jonathan, can you hear me? Everybody else?
Yes, I can hear you,
Erica.
Good, perfect.
Thank you. If you with the single chat, please.
So what I think I'm fine with this, I just want us to be open-minded with regard to the term ecosystem. Sometimes the word ecosystem can be understood quite narrowly, and sometimes it can be understood in a broader sense. So I think what we mean here is that it's everything which falls so that people do have an understanding in a broader sense about ICANN. It doesn't have to be somebody who understands all of the specificers and the interners, but it shall be an entity which is aligned with ICANN sufficiently.
Okay, so the question then back to you, Erica, is do we change anything? Because really we just need to, I mean, we have something in the charter that is not mandatory, and we need to simply create a response from the CWG to item 23, which is, which we kind of have a draft response here. Do you need, have a look in the top right-hand corner of the notes and see if you think we should respond differently. Is that good enough? Silent again, I'm afraid. Let me go to Alan and then perhaps come back to Eric.
Yeah, thank you. Recall the reality is the groups appoint and anoint someone. We don't really have the ability to rejecting them because they don't have the right skills. So I wouldn't make a big thing of it.
Thanks, Alan. And note that Erica said the same in the chat. Asha?
Thank you, Jonathan. So you were talking about the notes on the right-hand side for comment 22, correct?
Comment 23, I think.
23. Okay, charter. Let me just read it out so that I'm clear. So charter already indicates knowledge that is desirable for SOAC appointed members. Not appropriate to do so for participants as a qualifying criteria, although call for volunteers may identify what knowledge is desirable. Now, this is the thing I have a little bit of an issue with. So With participants, I think I agree and I'm fine with that. The issue there is on the members. So if we are only restricting it, I know we are only restricting it to, this is, how shall I put it? This is something I would like to open up for discussion and see whether there is something we can do. Right now, the way we have it is members are only coming from the SOs and ACs. And the problem is that we may not have people from SOs and ACs who are experienced with disbursing funds. So how do we bring in someone who has experience in disbursing funds and can be a member? Is that possible?
I think we're now mixing 22 and 23 up. It's partly because the notes aren't. I don't think they accurately reflect what we discussed on 23. So we're now drawn back to 22. And please, Ashi, if you could look at comment 22 and see if that deals with 22 satisfactory. Really, that's the point that deals with 22 on expertise.
So you want me to read 22? The CCWG to be encouraged to seek expertise participation wherever possible and appropriate. Charter should encourage CCWG to ensure relevant experience contained within the composition of its membership. Okay. So membership meaning as in members, not as in participants. In addition, suggest to the CCWG that at an early stage, it should seek to bring in specialist expertise to aid the work of the group. Okay. Yes. Yes. Then I'm fine with that. Thank you. Thank you for your patience on that.
No, no problem. We need to get it right. So on 23, the question is not on this kind of expertise. This is on the good understanding of the ICANN ecosystem. And here, the charter already indicates it is desirable for members to have a good understanding of the ICANN ecosystem, but it doesn't make it a necessary condition of membership or participation. In fact, it is silent on this point in terms of the participants. I'm a bit stuck here because the note I don't understand the note. Who's writing the notes? Is it David or Marika? Can I just check that? I'm not sure who to talk to about the notes.
David.
Hi, David. So comment 23 is not accurate to the comment, David. Because essentially we're saying that the point 23 says, talks about CCWG members need a good understanding of the ICANN ecosystem. We're essentially saying we leave it as is in the charter currently. Which, as I understand it, says that it is desirable for members to have that knowledge, but it's not a necessary condition. Usher.
Yes, so I'm just now referring to what Sylvia typed in the chat. So I was talking about appointing members who are not from the chartering organizations, and Marika says only chartering organizations can appoint members. So I think what the text that's already there, if it's cleaned up, because it's not very clear right now, but if my interpretation of that text for comment 22 and comment 23 is that we are encouraging the CCWG to be broad-minded and to encourage their chartering organizations to appoint members who may not necessarily be long-standing members in that particular SO or AC. So, yes, it's the chartering organizations that appoint the members, but they have the flexibility or the right to go out and look for someone who may have expertise in fund disbursement to be appointed as a member of this particular CCWG. So on one hand, the SOs and ACs are doing the appointing, but on the other hand, we're encouraging them to look outside of their normal circle of people. The same people tend to get appointed to the CCWGs, and we're asking, I'm suggesting here that we should encourage a bit more broad-mindedness and say, hey, please look for somebody who has expertise in fund disbursement and not necessarily somebody who has been in the organization for a very long time or is very deeply rooted in internet governance. How does that sound? Thank you.
Let's be clear here. First of all, what are we trying to achieve here? We're trying to go through the public comment tool kit and make sure we have considered the input and ultimately that is reflected in the charter. So to decide in relation to each of these comments what action we're going to take, if any. So that's what the output at each point should be. And I'll remind you that we are half an hour in on 2 points. So let me hand the microphone over to Marika next.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I can maybe just make a clarification, I think everything that Asha said is already foreseen in the charter. Charting organizations are encouraged to identify members that have, you know, certain expertise and knowledge. But I do want to point out that the role of SOAC, or charting organization appointed members, is mainly to take feedback back and forth between the charting organization, as eventually, of course, the charting organizations are the ones that need to approve the eventual recommendations. So it's not necessarily that members have the role of experts. So regardless, if a charting organization identifies, in addition to those that they want to appoint as members, those that have specific expertise, they definitely should also be encouraged to participate, and they can do so as participants. They participate in the same level, it's just that they don't have that function of liaising between the CCWG and the chartering organization, nor should there be a need for a consensus call. They wouldn't participate in that. But as the charter, I think, also identified, is that the idea is that there's no need to, you know, go only to the members, and that, you know, consensus needs to be sought in the full membership and participants of the group.
And I've essentially reiterated that in the chat. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. Just to note that we do have the ability, should we choose, to identify targeted other organizations where we want members. The CWG stewardship did that. However, we haven't identified any to date, and I see no reason to go in that direction. But just to be clear, that is something we could do, should we choose. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Okay, can we move on then with some confidence? Let's move on, unless there's anything more to be said on these 2 points. I think we've done them pretty well.
I'm not hearing anything, Jonathan. If you're talking, you have gone mute or dropped off.
Oh, I was just relocating where we were in the document.
Okay.
Thanks. So then the next point is that the number of seats allocated is too limited, not even one per SGC in the GNSO. Expertise and knowledge are important. Think flexibility about the numbers. Are we clear about self-dealing aspects and the risks? Well, this is quite a broad comment. It essentially deals with three different things, I suppose: number of seats, expertise and knowledge, and self-dealing. In terms of number of seats, I wouldn't write a reminder. What did we have? Four per chartering organization? Marika?
This is Marika. I believe we currently have 2 to 5, or maximum 5. And again, if I can reiterate the point that I made before, I think it's important as well that people understand what the role of a charting organization's appointed members is. It doesn't prevent others from participating, or additional members of a certain group to join as participants. Those appointed members have the specific role of liaising between the CCWG and the charting organization that has appointed them. And, you know, should there be a need for a consensus call, that's where members come in. And again, that is expected then to reflect, of course, the views of, you know, the charting organization, who eventually will need to approve the recommendations coming out of this effort.
Thanks, Marika. Well, that feels to me like you've just articulated a draft answer. Does anyone have a different view of what Marika has just said there, would like to see it represented differently? I'm not seeing any hands, so I think that answer as articulated by Marika is the answer, certainly to the limited seats for membership. We've dealt with expertise and knowledge in item 22. And I think in terms of are we clear about self-dealing aspects and the risks, I think we can say that the CWG has given considerable attention to the issue of conflict of interest. And I think that's as much as we need to say for the moment, because it will be dealt with in other areas. Marika, is that hand a new hand, or was that your previous hand? Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, just to note on 24 that clearly we cannot be in a position, ICANN and future CCWGs, of expanding working groups unlimitedly, because particular subgroups have added a lot of constituencies or things like that. The concept is interesting, but it's not something we can guarantee to, and we've agonized over the number an awful lot already. Thank you.
Okay, so again, the key is to produce a draft answer or a decent answer for 24, and then we're going to rely on staff in the interim to map that back into the charter, and then we'll get to review the charter on the next call. So I think we have an answer on that one. Let me move us on then to one which is now a board recommendation. And this says that recommends that the language relating to specific board committee chairs be removed. The board will appoint general liaisons, which may or may not be the identified chairs, and so on. So I think we've previously identified chair of audit committee, finance committee. I see a check mark from Alan. I agreed with it in the previous review of this. Lyman has agreed with me. Sylvia, I think your point is slightly tangential to this. This is not about, I guess this is not, there's no suggestion that a board member would chair this group. I think that's not in play at this stage. It was really that we had specified that we wanted a chair of the audit committee and chair of the finance committee, and we just simply don't require that. So I think that's what we're suggesting here. We don't require, we just have two board liaisons. Is it two? Can you confirm that, Marika? Are we suggesting two board liaisons within the CCWG?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think if I recall well, I think we basically followed the model of the liaisons that had been appointed here, which was two each, one from each committee.
Board saying to us, don't specify, just give us two board liaisons, and personally I'm okay with that, and I think others seem to be as well. David, that's adequately captured in the chat, providing no one else has another point on it. Let's move on then to item 26. Given the board's role in considering the CCWG recommendations, it agrees with the drafting team that it does not need to reaffirm the charter. Now, this is more subtle because we had previously asked in a separate point for the board to consider its statement of intent. So if it was me reflecting that, what I would be saying is, actually, the CCWG has asked the board to indicate, and Sylvia agrees with me, how it will deal with these recommendations in a more substantive way. And the thinking here is that the community, us, is going to make such a great effort on all of this, and if the board, in principle, could just say, thanks very much, but we're going to leave this and not do anything with it. And maybe, Usha or Erica, you can comment on progress with this. This particular request, which is related to the answer on this one. And before that, just let's hear from Marika, who had a hand up. Marika, go ahead.
Sorry, all hand.
Thanks. Okay, go ahead, Usha. Erica notes that she'll defer to Usha, but we don't hear Usha yet. Usha, check if your mic is on again, please.
Can you hear me now?
Gosh, I hear you.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hi, Asha, we hear
yes,
you
we
fine.
Can hear you, Asha.
Okay, great. All right, great. Thank you. Yes, so regarding how the board will deal with the recommendations, we have drafted some language, and we have sent it to board members for inputs and comments, and we have received those comments, and now we are in the process of consolidating all those comments to see how we can come up with the next version. So we're currently still in the process of working on this, so please give us a little bit of more time. Hello?
Thanks, Asha. That's very helpful to know. In terms of our response to question 26, then, we can say that the DT will seek to gain further clarity on the board's commitments to dealing with the recommendations of the drafting team. So we're seeking further clarity at this stage, and then depending on what comes out, that will become known. Is that fair enough to everyone? And Asha, did you want to come back with any more?
That's an old hand.
Asha, so that's helpful then?
That's an old hand. Thank you.
Checking the note here. The drafting team will seek to gain further clarity on the board's commitment to dealing with the recommendations. I think it's of the CCWG, not of the DT and the CCWG. It's just of the CCWG, and forgive me if I said that wrong. Okay, good. So then we move on to item 27. What are the criteria you're going to use to rank the grant request? Failure on consumer awareness on new GTLDs, which are the source of these funds. Timing is an issue, as completion of this process may take years. Not to be debated as part of the DT will be for the CWG to consider. Well, that sounds like part of the answer. And then Sylvia's put in that she agrees it should be for the CCWG to decide the criteria, but it may be useful to say on the charter that they should come up with a set of criteria. Exactly. I think from the DT's point of view, this is outside of the scope for the drafting team. Something that will be worked on by the CCWG for eventual action by the mechanism, process, or entity that grants the funds. So, and Asha and Erica both agree that this is outside of scope. Any other comments on this one? You see the dropped answer up in the top right-hand corner. Alan.
Yeah, just a quick comment. This is one of those things that I don't think it is optional for the CCWG itself. In theory, it could leave it to the dispensing body to set the criteria, but I think this is the key decision on the use of ICANN's money. So I think this is a CCWG responsibility as opposed to something they could do. Thank you.
Well, I think certainly from a drafting team point of view, we seem to have, and Asha highlights that part of the reason for this question was it wasn't clear what was going on. So we need to be that someone in the audience may not have been clear that we were working in three different phases, drafting team, CWG allocation mechanism, and that the purpose of clearly the CWG is to give birth to the allocation and disbursement mechanism. So I think from our view, we might say then, in addition to the answer, David, where you've got that it's outside of our competence, it's not so much that it's outside of our competence, it's just outside of the scope of the DT, and will be worked. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, have a look at my draft answer that David's captured there, or our draft answer. and see if that covers what you need or if there needs to be anything more, bearing in mind Usha's point, which is a very good one, that this is partly, this question may be born partly out of unfamiliarity with how we were working. Thanks, Sylvia. Your note, you're okay in the chat. All right, that feels like a sufficient answer to me. If you have more, come back, and otherwise I'll nudge us on to 28. Thanks, Alan, for your check mark. Again, there's a question here about how applicants are expected to report back. I think actually we can be as simple as saying this is outside of the scope of the DT. Reporting is anticipated to be a critical mechanism, but it's outside of the scope for the drafting team. Any other comments or suggestions with regard to 28 in addition or in contradiction to that? Thanks, Alan, for your check mark. Erica also agrees, and I see others are typing. Olga, okay, good. I agree. Usha points out that we should be much clearer in where this fits into the scheme of things. I don't recall what we did say in Helsinki, Usha, but you are right. It's certainly something we should articulate plainly and clearly where this fits in so that people don't try and get too involved. Or involved at the wrong point in the process. Alan, go ahead.
No, thank you. I don't recall if it's actually in the charter. I know it was a comment I made at one point earlier on that we should explicitly say that evaluation and reporting is has to be part of the overall process. It's not likely they're going to miss that, but I think that's a requirement because, that's the only way we have some auditability afterwards that we've used the money to some extent wisely. So if we aren't saying it in the charter, we should include it that the CCWG should consider, auditing, reporting, whatever.
David uses the word evaluation. I think that's a good point, Alan, that we should Marika will check that in the chart, and I think it is a very good point that we should specify that any final solution, as David noted there, should cover evaluation reporting. It is a valid point. That we do already. So good. Thank you, everyone. All right, let's move on to 29 then. This good progress. That something's missing from the goals and objectives, and that we will choose specific objectives and put shape on it. And then Sylvia's draft answer says the charter might provide the framework to objectives. Not sure I understand this point. Maybe someone else can help me here on this one. I'm missing from goals. Okay, Erica, go ahead.
Let's try if you can hear me.
We can. You're cutting out.
Can you?
Try again.
Audio, Eric.
Try again. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, we hear you now, Erica.
Okay, so I think that's a confusing term, the word objective. Because I think it's up to the CCWG to frame later the scope and the I think you want to stick with the word scope for the funds, but objective, I'm not sure what this means, so probably we should ignore this point.
Thanks, Eric. Your sound clipped in and out a little bit there. I'm reluctant to, we need to put some kind of answer in here, even if, I guess, if we say we've considered it, but this is not. So I need to draft. We have to have some kind of draft in there. Sylvia, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Great, Sylvia. If you could just bear with me a moment. Rika dropped her hand, I think, in anticipation of speaking, and I didn't call for her to speak. So if you just bear with me one moment, Sylvia. I'll go to Marika first, and then I'll come back.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just trying, I think, to clarify what is probably here, because I think this is both the comment and the answer that was given during that session, where I think someone made the comment that specific objectives for the auction funds were not specified. And I believe then the response that was given by those, either the drafting team members in the audience or the chairs on the stage, was that the CCWG will be responsible for choosing the specific objectives and shape those further. So I think this is actually a combination of the comment that was made as well as the response that was given as part of the session.
Okay, so the suggestion might be to move the part after the colon to the right-hand column.
Correct.
Thanks, Marika. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, I think that the words need to be used a little bit more methodically, because we can get the CCWG in a bit of a problem if we say that they need to define goals and objectives that also mean that those objectives and those goals will not only the project supported will have to be evaluated and assessed, and that might generate a problem in the future in terms of the effectivity of the fund itself, not of the project supported, but how effective the ICANN allocation of funds have been. So I think that it will be probably useful if we try to steer the CCWG to work to define the purpose of the fund, and that goals and objectives, can be moved along the way depending on what categories they are funding or what mechanisms they put in place, because all that could be different later on. So I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I think at the overall umbrella, it's important to have a purpose for the fund in general. And then if the fund has different objectives, then those will have different goals and those will have different ways of assessing them. So if we don't use the words properly, then we can put them in a lot of trouble trying to identify the whole evaluation mechanism for the fund as such. So anyway, hope it helps. Thank you.
Thanks, Sylvia. Did you want to pick up from that, Alan?
Yes, I agree with what Erica said, and I think that's agreeing with Sylvia also. I would not tie the CCWG to having objectives. I think the CCWG is going to be responsible for scoping out what the funds are used for, be that objectives, goals, scope, or whatever. So I think we want to make sure that we make it clear the CCWG is responsible, but not tie them to the word objectives.
And Asha uses the term in the chat, high-level goals. Has hopefully drafted a response, which is that the CCWG will be responsible for choosing specific objectives and shaping those further.
Well, it's Alan. I would not use the word restricted to the word objectives. That may end up getting us into a bind.
Well, high-level goals, which was the alternative. So
goals, CCWG objectives, or other ways of targeting the usage.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Alan. Asha?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. What I typed in the chat is not, those are not my words. I copy-pasted from the notes. So I agree that we shouldn't have specific objectives. I agree with whatever Alan just said. So that's why I was suggesting as an alternative, instead of following what the notes have right now, which is choosing the specific objectives, we change it to high-level goals or high-level objectives. But use the word high-level instead of specific.
Sasha, so as it's currently drafted in the notes on the right-hand side, does that now match what you would like to see?
Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. So we can then move on, I think, and that's okay. Sylvia's okay, so we move on to 30. So here there's a point that on 30, which is not so clear on a standalone basis. It says one-time funding is not necessarily one-time disbursement. And then Sylvia says she doesn't agree with that. Let's let Marika come in before we come to Sylvia's response, and then Asha, if that hand remains up, I'll come to you next. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I recall well, I think the commenter basically noted that even though a one-time funding is provided, it doesn't mean that that funding needs to be spent at once, whether that's in, you know, one disbursement to one organization or project, or whether that has to happen, you know, it, all projects need to be funded in one go. It could also be over a certain time frame. If I remember well, I think this was what the person that made that comment tried to convey or confirm, that the charter would allow for that, that it doesn't restrict it to you know, one-time funding and also spending everything at once.
In fact, we could say that the drafting team has no intention of restricting, of creating any restriction on the disbursement or something along those lines. Go ahead, Asha.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. So I thought that this was a misunderstanding because if I recall during the public session, because I took quite copious notes, when there was a discussion along the lines of one-time funding, the discussion was about whether the funds that are going to be dispersed is a one-time thing or is that going to be a perennially topped up. And so we had said, so correct me if I'm wrong, Marika, I thought that this was referring to that comment. There was somebody in the audience who asked if this was going to be a one-time revenue source. And the answer, I recall saying, yes, it's a one-time revenue source. So now what this says is a little bit different, which is this is talking about the how many times you can disperse to a single applicant. And if this question was about how many times you can disperse to a single applicant, then I agree with what Sylvia says. I think it's completely irrelevant and it's not in the scope of the charter, and neither should the CCWG restrict the number of times a applicant can apply. In fact, I was studying what the Gates Foundation has been doing, and they prefer to repeat disbursements to applicants if the applicants are proving to be using the money well. Thank you.
So that's what venture capitalists or what they might call something like follow-on funding. So here's a suggestion for you. We say that the drafting team understands that this is currently a one-time funding event. The drafting team takes no position on disbursement.
You mean, Jonathan, you're referring to the one-time funding, you mean the one-time revenue source, right?
Correct, but it's expressed in those terms as one-time funding there under item 30. So I'm just proposing a draft answer to item 30, which you'll see now in the right-hand side.
Yes, because I thought the question was about one-time funding, one-time revenue source. I didn't realize that it was about multiple disbursements, because I recall the question was about one-time revenue. But thank you.
Okay. Well, it's just, well, I mean, what I'm stuck with at the moment is how it's expressed under item 30. So we just need to deal with that, either modify how it's expressed or respond to it how it is expressed. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to clarify that I wasn't implying in my response that this comment was about, you know, how many times an applicant could be funded, because I don't think either that was what was meant. It was indeed more the difference between the one-off revenue source and whether that, you know, needed to be spent in one go, whether it's on one applicant or multiple projects, but kind of in the same kind of time frame, or whether it could also be in the form of like endowment or over a certain time period that it could be allocated. That was at least, as I recall, the comment, which I think is in line with what Asha said. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, so those are all helpful points in understanding it. Can I ask you to cast your attention over to the top right-hand side and see and if that is a satisfactory answer in any event? Does it express our position, you know, in any event, or do we need to modify that? Asha, I'm going to skip over you because I think that's an old hand and come to Alan.
Thank you very much. I would not use the expression one-time funding. There has been some fair misunderstanding on the issue of one-time funding. There are people who presumed that we had $100 million and, for instance, the $135 from the .web is not part of our pool. I believe that our funding is the auction proceeds from round one of the new GTLD process. And we will not know what that is until all the auctions are finished. But there are people who presumed that it was locked in when we started our discussion, and anything else may go somewhere else. So I think we want to be clear about what the funding source is. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. And you've got support from Lyman and Asha in the chat. So I think it's clumsy wording as it stands at the moment, and I can take responsibility for it. So it's I'm just not quite sure what the right wording is. The DT understands that this is currently a single revenue source, in brackets, derived from new GTLD auction proceeds.
Round one.
Round one.
Yeah. Or we can be silent completely. The comment is talking about disbursements. We don't have to talk about the source. So we can be silent, or we should be specific.
Well, I just think it's potentially ambiguous, so there's no harm in us stating that response. Erica says let's be silent, so let's just come back to it now. If I could ask you to address your comments to how it's currently drafted, our response, which is going to go in the fourth column there. Go ahead, Asha.
Yeah, I'm tending to advocate being silent, but the only problem is that I'm looking at my notes. This particular question came up three times. I could be wrong, but maybe Marika can. This is why I was suggesting that we go through that record the notes very, very carefully from the public session. But from my notes, this particular question was asked three different times. So while on one hand it would be worthwhile to be silent, because it came up so many times, it might also be worthwhile to clarify it. So I wanted to hear from everybody else what they think. Or another option is we don't mention anything in the charter about this. We are silent in the charter, but we answer the question in a separate Q&A document. That could be another option. Thank you.
Asha, I think I understand that. My question, I suppose, is what do we deal with in the public comment tool? Because we're going to create this answer in the right-hand column of the public comment tool, and then staff are going to map these answers back over onto the charter. So is the answer under 30 too explicit on the single revenue source? I mean, I guess I could express a point of view that I have is clearly right at the moment, and we've discussed this previously, we've said that the funds derived from a single revenue source, as clarified in the point in parentheses afterwards, in brackets afterwards, but that doesn't preclude any mechanism being developed to deal with the disbursement of these funds being used for any future funds should they become available. But yeah, it's a question then of how, Asha, to your point in the chat, but maybe this is already dealt with in the charter. So are we, you know, the question is that I think maybe we just need to be vigilant then when this comment 30 is mapped back into the charter, that it's probably already covered in the charter, and we don't need to actually map this point explicitly across. Can I get some clarity from Erica or staff? Erica, your mic appears open at the moment, just to let you know. Can I get some comment from Marika? What will be the status of this public comment tool? I think with this, I mean, it's effectively public because it's a shared document. So is that correct? Marika, that's a question to you.
Oh, apologies. I just was talking on mute. This is Marika. Yes, if it's about the public or the comment review tool, that's posted on the wiki and on the mailing list, which is publicly archived, so it's accessible to anyone interested.
So it's part of the record of this group, and providing we are happy with the response to comment 30, which I think I am, I'm okay with that. I don't think it compromises us at all. It's then a question of how that's mapped to the charter. And as I understand at the moment, it is effectively already mapped in the draft charter. So we wouldn't need to do any explicit additional mapping to reflect comment 30. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. If it is helpful, I mean, it will create some additional work. Is we could, you know, as staff goes through the charter, we could flag where we believe certain comments are already addressed and as such may not need further clarification.
When would you propose to do that, Marika, as part of the parallel work on mapping it in?
Correct.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I guess you could just put that as a supplement. Under each item, you put staff comment already contained in the charter. Staff comments added to charter here or whatever, something. I mean, I accept it is a little more work, but or you could just, you know, you could keep it simple, though, if you just say if it's already addressed in the charter or something along those lines, just even if it was binary, but you may want to do slightly more than that. And then Sylvia points out that this will be you know, of course, make it accountable as to where we did incorporate things. Alan?
Thank you. We discussed earlier whether this was a comment really about disbursement or one-time funding. And my question to staff is this the comment that is reflecting Elliot Noss's several interventions where he was adamant that this be one-time funding, or is that covered somewhere else later on? I don't hear anything. I'm not sure if someone's talking or not.
This is Marika. I'm quickly looking through
the
comments. not really sure if that is covered somewhere else or whether this was a comment. I mean, we can look back at that because I think, indeed, Elliot made various comments. And just to note on the previous point, Jonathan, I actually had thought of it the other way around when going through the charter that I would actually highlight you know, which sections basically already cover the comments that were made. So basically, if we already specify somewhere that indeed it's a, you know, one-time revenue and, you know, it's silent on disbursement, I could just highlight and saying, you know, this addresses comments 3, for example. But the other way around, we can do as well.
Yeah, that sounds either way, as long as it creates an accountable link between the two. I think let's give a – I think we've made a pretty good job of this. Let's give a last word. Oh, I was going to give a last word to Usha, but I see your hand dropped, Usha. Did you want to say anything more, Usha? Just indicate in the chat or re-raise your hand if you'd like.
Jonathan, yeah, no, I typed it in the chat. It was Elliot who mentioned this issue about the one-off deal. He called it a one-off deal, and he says that this should, if it's a one-off deal, what I've written in my notes is we should go through the charter. I don't know what that means. But I think, Marika, it might be worthwhile to, if we have the time, to go back to see what was said for this particular, because it wasn't just this gentleman from Two Cows. I have in my notes here somebody else also talked about a one-time revenue versus one-time disbursement. So it is worthwhile to make it just to answer this, to address this point into two by answering it separately the way you have it now. One about the revenue source and one about the disbursement. Two separate sentences. Thank you.
Jonathan, it's Alan. Can I get back in?
I think I perceive that to be an old hand. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I agree with what Asha has said. I think if this is in response to Asha's, and yes, someone else said it also, we need to answer it specifically. But I think the answer is the charter of the drafting team and the charter of the CCWG will be to address the disbursement of this one-time funding. Should ICANN choose in some future process to take another chunk of money and use the same rules that the CCWG is setting up, that's an ICANN decision in the future. We are looking only at a one-time disbursement. I don't think we can make a commitment that the results of what we do are not reused for some other largesse in the future.
Great. Thanks, Alan. And just to be clear on, I mean, Marika highlighted that this comes up in item 36, which we're about to come to. I suppose there is another point here which is implicit in this, and maybe this is partly what some were getting at, is that the disbursement may take – this drafting team, to the best of my knowledge, is not making any comment about the pace at which this disbursement takes place. So whilst notionally it might be a one-off disbursement, this could take place over 10 or 20 years or 10 or 20 minutes. We're not assuming that. We are just recognizing that the pool of money which is to be worked with derives from one particular source, and the CCWG must work to build a mechanism or process for the disbursement of that. And again, whether that mechanism or disbursement takes place within 20 minutes or 20 years, we're not specifying. And then you make the point, Alan, and consistent with that, that the CCWG in its wisdom may decide to use all of the money in one fell swoop. Sure, may donate it all to you or me if it is very wise in its thinking. Clearly that's not a point to be taken seriously. But, yeah, it's up to the CCWG to do its work. Exactly. And Usha points out it might give it all to a foundation. It may decide... And Alan similarly seeks to be the sole recipient in jest. All right, so let's move on then to number, I thought it was number 33. Let me just make sure. No, we've got 31 and 32. CCWG should not, 31, CCWG should not be involved at all in anything related to fund disbursement. CCWG should propose mechanisms and or structures that would be independent of the CCWG. In other words, once established, the CCWG should be dissolved so as to avoid any conflict of interest. Well, my understanding is that Sylvia, in her comments, has agreed 100%, and I think we could easily say as our response, this is consistent with the drafting team's position. This comment is consistent with the drafting team's position, full stop. Any further improvements on that or required changes? Erica agrees. 500%, thanks. Sure. Okay, so that's good enough, and we can move on to 32. Like I said at the beginning, if you pull me back if I'm moving too fast or you disagree, but let's keep this moving. We've got some good momentum here. Now, under 32, we said in the discussion, just to flag with you on momentum, we're at 90 minutes into the call. My sense is that we should carry on and try and close this item out and work within the two-hour slot. Again, I'm sure you'll tell me if we need to do otherwise, but it seems to me like we should use the momentum we've got and try and push this through. Thank you, Sylvia, for your support on that. Okay, so in the discussion, item 32. In the discussion, one participant recommended that CCWG have a finite life and that distribution decisions not be made in such a way that distribution is strung out over time. A second speaker suggested that principles should not preclude distribution to recipients that seek long-term goals. The speaker also noted these principles should not be mutually exclusive. Internet society agrees with both. It would be a monumental task to marshal the tens of million dollars in the need over any short-term period. I think we just say this is outside of the scope for the DT and for consideration by the CCWG. Both responses. Sorry, Sylvia, I'm just checking your response. Okay.
Jonathan, did you call on me?
Sorry, I made a bit of a talk. Go ahead.
I don't think it's out of scope. The participant recommended the CWG have a finite life and that distribution decisions not be made in such a way that the distributions be strung out over time. I think that on the second is out of scope, but the implication of the first part of the sentence is the CCWG will be doing the disbursements, and I think that we need to correct that perception.
Fair point, Alan. Thanks for calling that out. So I think we say DT does expect CCWG to have a finite life and that CCWG will not be involved in any distribution decisions. And that's it. Sylvia. That's my draft answer up there, Sylvia, for you to reflect on as in connection with your comment, or if you want more or different.
Thank you, Jonathan. What I wanted to say on my comment on that column is that although it is or it will be for the CCWG to define what those mechanisms are, one of the things that might be of concern is that just in the haste of trying to get rid of the money quickly so that they don't have much pressure from people, they might actually not take into consideration issues around projects that require a more medium or long-term approach. So I think that probably one thing that we can say, although that second part of the comment is a little bit out of scope, is that add or include in the list of recommendations that we have in the charter that the CCWG that does not restrict that the expenditure is done too hasty or whatever, but at the pace that is required for on a case-to-case basis or according to whatever mechanism that they decide, but that is for the benefit of the achievement of the high-level goals that they will be deciding, right? So it's not like, oh, okay, you are applying for a project that is for 10 years that will solve all the problems on, I don't know, X issue. Oh, no, because we have to spend the money in a year and then give it to something that will probably not work. So I think timing is also important for them to take into consideration, and I don't think we have in the charter that issue about managing the timing, thinking about what's best or what will produce the best outcomes, not necessarily what will be easier. Thank you.
Sylvia, so does the comment 32 up in the top right-hand side reflect that, or would you like to see additional or modified content in that comment? If you would like to, come in back in after Alan and tell us how you'd like to see those words change to get a better input there. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. This isn't in response to this question, but it's just a note to ourselves. The last part of our answer says the money is going to, of Sylvia's answer, says the money will last a long time but not forever. We don't know how long it's going to last. If the funds include revenue from the funds, we may have as much as $300 million, and at 6%, that's close to $20 million a year. So right now the fund is a fixed amount, and I assume ICANN is taking any revenue that comes from its investment, if indeed it's invested at a significant rate. One of the things we may want to consider of putting on the CCWG's list of responsibilities is to decide, is there an investment strategy? Does the fund get revenue if there is any, or does that go into ICANN in a different way? I don't think we've ever discussed that, and I think it's something we need to think about whether it should be in the charter or not. Well, it's not an answer to this question, but it's a note to ourselves to consider it. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. That's an important point. I mean, I would expect that it's invested in a very low return secure position at this stage, and I might expect that until such time, well, it's interesting because it's going to be in two different positions. Until it begins to be dispersed, I don't know at what point we would expect the community to have any view on the investment or whether the board would take a view on that. Ashley, is that something you're able to comment on at this stage? I know your hand is up anyway, so go ahead, and if you have anything to say on that, please do so.
Yes, I specifically wanted to comment on that. So I think you're spot on, Jonathan, in that the auction proceeds are being invested. They are we do have a fund manager for the auction proceeds. So I think you're right in that. I think that will continue until which time the proceeds are ready to be dispersed. So I don't think that, I mean, from my perspective, I think it wouldn't be necessary to discuss that particular area because they are invested and there is a fund manager, and then what happens, and I think that what will likely happen is that funds will continue to be managed that way until the last dollar is dispersed, because you're not going to disperse all of the funds at one go.
Asha, you're silent on who's getting the revenue and who will get the revenue once this process formally starts.
Oh, okay. So you're right. I mean, the funds, whatever revenue we earn from the investment will go back into the fund. That's how it is right now.
Oh, really? Because that number is not increasing. At least no one's mentioned it increasing.
What do you mean?
Well, we had
we had
$104 million. No one has said $104 million and growing, even though part of that money's been there for quite some time.
Well, I do not recall correctly what the performance was of the fund last year, but it wasn't at a very high interest rate. It wasn't growing at a very high rate.
Yeah.
So that could be the reason.
Yeah, I don't think it's our mandate to talk about investment strategies, but I think we
exactly.
Should not be silent on whether the any revenue is available for disbursement. And if the CCWG should make any decisions on it. That's all I was raising. But I don't think it's...
No, that's a fair point.
Discussion.
I think John... sorry, not Jonathan. Alan, I think that's a fair point. And we can refer to... One suggestion would be that we refer to income... for the what did we call it just now? The one-time source of revenue plus any... One-time revenue source plus... any income derived from the investment of that one-time revenue. together. We refer to the auction proceeds. We refer to what we earn from the proceeds of auction, what we earn from the auctions themselves, as well as what we earn from the investment of those proceeds, and not talk about what the investment strategy is. That's outside of the scope. Does that make sense?
Thanks, Asha and Alan, for raising that. It is an important point. I think it would be very useful for the board to just write a quick note, and we can perhaps get that into the charter. It's not strictly relevant to this public comment tool, but it's come up tangentially. And I think, as Alan suggests, a note to augment the charter after we finish this would be very useful. My suggestion is, in terms of terminology, we stop referring to the auction proceeds as revenue. They are the capital in the fund, and that will make it clearer. And then there's any income derived from that capital. And if the board, I mean, I think a very short note from the board saying something along those lines, you know, that the board views this as a one-off generation of capital, and the board takes its responsibility to look after that capital, including the investment as part of its general, you know, something along those lines. I'm not going to say, but a communication like that preempts this would be very helpful. So, Erica and Asha, if you could come back to that.
That's doable. Yeah, that's doable, Jonathan.
Thank you very much, Asha. Alan, for raising that.
And Jonathan, this is Terry. If you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
That was my error. I had my mic on mute. Item, thank you for reminding me, Terry. So 33, we move on to 33. A lot of guidelines about what not to do, what will we want to do with this. There is a sequence that will be followed in this process. Where in the sequence is the establishment of guidelines and expectations? Well, I think that here we're seeing part of the issue. In these public comments, as they left-hand column, you're getting a combination of the question and the answer from the session, because it's clear that we say DT sets up the constraints, CCWG will do part of the heavy lifting. So this is part of the answer. So the question is a lot of guidelines about what to do, what do we not want to do with, what do we want to do with this, and then where in the sequence is there any establishment of guidelines and expectations? Well, I guess what we want to do here as our answer is really articulate that that the draft, we really want to state here that the role of the drafting team, the role of the CCWG, and the role of the post-CCWG process. That's what I would feel is the right way to answer this sort of three-stage process that Asha and others have referred to. Asha, go ahead.
Sorry, that was an old hand.
No problem. Thanks. I think here we articulate, this is what I suggest, that we articulate the role of the drafting team, the role of the CCWG, and the role of the post-CCWG mechanism. Alan?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Remember, when we started our process, there wasn't a rule saying the CCWG shall not do disbursements. That's a rule we came up with, and we just need to make sure that it's really clear, and I think it is already in the charter.
Alan. So, David, the comment 33 is articulate the role, articulate the role, clearly articulate the role, exactly. Thank you. Okay. Item 34, consider criteria about the expected results outcome of the funding provided. I think this goes back to a point we've talked about before. This is about evaluation and performance. So I think we would expect this is out of scope for the drafting team, but we would anticipate that the CCWG would set a requirement that the evaluation and performance criteria be utilized. Any improvements on that answer or any thoughts on the answer to that one? Helen?
Yeah, I don't think you need to have evaluation to have expected results. You could take it on faith. So I think this question is asking who's going to set what the criteria is or what our expectations are, and the answer is it's up to the CCWG to decide to what extent it sets detailed expectations and to what extent does it leave it open for the disbursement mechanism.
Thanks, Alan. So Erica agrees with you. So maybe you could help with the form of words that goes into the right-hand column here.
I think the answer is the CCWG will decide to what extent it will elaborate, it will specify expectations and to what extent it will set overall guidelines for the disbursement mechanism to decide. Certainly out of scope for us.
I think you perhaps spoke a little fast for David.
The CCWG will decide, will deliberate on and decide to what extent it is setting expected results and to what extent it will provide more global. It goes back to the words we used last time of major goals, and the disbursement mechanism will decide on specific criteria.
Okay, so there's an answer there for 34. And then 35 goes on to say that diversity, if that is a requirement for disbursement, that may be counter to specific objectives. I think we could simply say that the DT expects that diversity will have an important place in all aspects of the CWG's work. And maybe that's good enough. Diversity will have a critical place in all aspects of the CWG's work, and we just assert that back. Any sort of alternatives to that? Any problems with that answer?
The CWG's work and recommendations.
Fair enough. I took that as implicit, but I agree it could be stated. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you, Usha, for your support there. Good. So that helps us with 35. And Usha would like to go back to 34. By all means, Usha, go back to the 34.
Did you call on me, Jonathan?
Usha, come in on 34.
Yes, so I'm sorry I missed out on that because I wasn't following what was being said when you guys were discussing 34. The question is, consider providing criteria about expected results and outcome of funding provided. I think one of the people who talked about this was Steve, if I'm not mistaken. So your answer is out of scope for the drafting team, but expect that the CCWG would set a requirement that evaluation and performance criteria should be utilized, okay? The CCWG will deliberate on and decide the extent to of to extent to of any extent of any of the expected results and the high level Oh, dear. Wait. The CCWG will deliberate on and decide the extent of any expected result and high-level goals, and the dispersal mechanism will decide on the specific criteria for success. Okay. If I recall correctly, this is related to the high-level goals question. I think that was the motivation for at least Steve. That was at least Steve's motivation for asking this question. This question was asked by two people in two different ways, but from Steve's perspective, that is his motivation. So could we also consider adding the high-level goals in the answer to 34? And then Sylvia says, I also commented on 34. On 34, the drafting team can add to the list of things to consider for the CCWG. Yes, I agree with what Sylvia is saying. Yes.
So how about could we help with
broaden
the thing 34 to include Sylvia's comment? How would you like the answer to 34 to be modified? Feel free to suggest a modified answer.
Yeah. It's Alan. I'd like to know what minimum outcomes for accountability means.
Sylvia, you want? I'm not going. I have my ideas, but I'm since Sylvia typed
right.
that,
I
defer to Sylvia.
Why don't you try and suggest a modified form of wording and see if that meets Sylvia's requirement?
You mean right now?
That's what we're doing. We're trying to. I mean, there's a draft answer there. And so if you have a different one, perhaps suggest to David how that draft answer could be modified so that we can close out on 34.
I don't have specific. Okay, the one suggestion was to put the high-level goals sentence in from the previous answer where we talked about high-level goals. And I would like to actually use Sylvia's words. Consider that the CCWG, let's see here, the DT can add to the list of things to consider for the CCWG. What are the minimum outcomes for accountability? See, I agree with what Sylvia is saying because at least the foundations that I've been studying very briefly, for instance, the Gates Foundation, they are very strict about the required outcomes and goals. The required outcomes and results they would like to see from the money that they've invested. So the way they've described it is that they say whenever we invest in something, we always reach an agreement on what success looks like. So they have all these things published way in advance. They've defined what success looks like, and that's what they call their minimum
outcome. What you and Sylvia and others might be looking for is, although Erica suggests we're more careful about how we do things. But expect this. So at the moment it says out of scope for the DT, and we'll come to you in a moment, Sylvia. I'm just trying to get us so that we can out of scope for the DT. But expect that CCWG would set a requirement that evaluation performance criteria should be utilized. The CCWG will deliberate on decide the extent to. I think David, your wording should say decide the extent to which. So replace of with to which. Any expected results, my page just jumped, to which any expected results and high-level goals, upgrade wording. Okay, so let's see. The CCWG will decide, deliberate on and decide on the extent to which any expected results and high-level goals are measured against specific criteria for success.
Sorry, can I just jump in? The high-level goals part I was referring to is not here, but meant to be for the first sentence. So
let's just hold up just a moment. We'll come back to that. Okay, just hold there just so we can not end up in a complete mess. So, David, if you could delete the rest of the sentence between success and the full stop. So at least we have a working draft here. Thank you. Okay, Asha, how would you like to – where do you want let's delete okay. High-level goals here. So any expected result is results are measured. And then, Asha, where do you want to see the high-level goals part come in?
Okay.
What exactly does it say?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. So I'm now referring to the question, which is consider providing criteria about expected results and outcome of the funding provided. So the CCWG should define high-level goals, which the CCWG should define high-level goals for the funding. So I wouldn't agree with that it's outside of the scope of the DT. I don't agree with the first bit of the sentence.
Okay, so David, please note that this answer is not finalized. We have not agreed this answer, and others are going to have to work on it offline. Sylvia, you've been very patient. I think you get a last comment here, and then I'm going to have to try and wrap us up since we've come to the top hour. Go ahead, Sylvia, and then we'll try and see if we can... wrap this up.
No, thanks. Look, I am a bit concerned that we are mixing up measurements of success at the project level with the measure of success of the fund itself. And that is a very, very bad thing to do because you can invest into a project that seems wonderful, do all the due diligence, select it beautifully, you know, have all the ducks in the row, and then they don't succeed. That doesn't mean that the fund or the investment was done in the wrong way, and that doesn't mean that the fund is not successful. So I don't think that we should – that's why I was referring to the minimum level for accountability. So if what we are saying is, I don't know, you have a small project that has received X amount of money, and then you have a massive project that has received a lot of more money, the outcomes will be different, and the accountability for each one will be different. And you negotiate those on a case-by-case basis because contracts are different and the forms are different and the reporting is different. But you can have a minimum. You can have a one-page summary report and a financial statement at the end, something like that. That is a minimum for all the investments so that people can see what the fund is investing on, and if each one has evaluation and monitoring mechanisms, then you can see by each project or whatever. And that's what the Gates Foundation does, that's what Ford Foundation does, and they do it separately by projects or by programs that they invest. Same with the Canadian agency, IDRC, same with the UKID. So, and same the worst with CIDA, actually. So you can no, I don't think it's wise to say at the beginning that you are linking the success of the investment or the reports or the outcomes of the projects with the success of the fund. So I really hope that we can work this answer on the comment 34 so it doesn't leave room for those type of assumptions. And yes, there must be a minimum level that where you can compare all projects to have something that is publicly available for everybody that is a bare minimum, but all the outcomes will be different by project for project. Sorry, thank you.
Thanks, Sylvia. So the way I'd like to capture that, David, if you could just make a note that there's an just put something like NB in capitals, any thinking on evaluation needs to make the distinction between the performance of the fund overall and the performance of any investments. And so that's just capturing that. It's not under any specific comment. It's just making a note there. I think we now need to call. We've spent 2 hours on this. I think we've been very productive and really made a good concerted effort between us to get some good answers. We have another call out for that we have a proposed call on the 24th, and we will put another doodle poll out very shortly to do that. I think especially given that it's August and Northern Hemisphere summer, I don't want to push us to weekly meetings at this stage. Thanks, David, for your clarification in the chat that you've used the term grants. Yeah, let me just check your wording there to make sure. Yes, that's fine. Thank you, David. That just clarifies, I think. At least it's just a placeholder for thinking about that. So, everyone, we're going to have 2 weeks between now and the next call. So, please, can you do two things? One, of course, fill in the doodle poll as soon as possible with your availability so we can all plan for that meeting. I have a feeling I'm going to have some difficulties with that date. So, may well be that I have struggled to attend on the 24th, but we'll just have to work with that. And I'm sure, the Wednesday 24th should be okay. Okay, so let's work with Wednesday 24th as we plan to. And then thank you, Usha, for being, I don't want to, my concern is let's see what we can get. Let's doodle on the 24th, and if we struggle, we'll do that. But please remember, we want comments within a week on this, and if you can all of you try and make your best efforts to provide further comments, especially on the outstanding items, within a week, so that staff can then knit these back into the charter, and ideally then at the next meeting we're reviewing the charter, so we're seeing the form of all of these comments find their way back into the charter. And thank you, Alan, for both your offer of chair and your support for my role as chair as well. Yes, Sylvia. So within a week, as soon as possible, and within a week so that staff can then turn that into the charter. Right. We're four minutes over the hour. So let's Usha, as we say, we'll try for the 24th. We'll see what we can all do on the 24th. And if we can't, we'll look a day either side of that or something like that and try and work around that. Because I think everyone's contributing well. We're a small team, and it's good to have as many people as possible. It would be good to have unanimous participation. Anyone needed to say anything else that I've inadvertently skipped over or missed or any other key important points before we free each other up to get on with the rest of our respective days? Okay, thank you, Alan. Thank you, everyone. It's been a productive meeting. And thanks for helping work with the challenges of it, and we'll talk again soon.